Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
As the excitement of the holidays approach, if you're a parent, you know that kids get very excited. You get very stressed. The kids are wondering what they're going to get. You have to run around to visit relatives. There's so many things that go on at the holidays, but we want to be able to teach our children things like empathy and gratitude, and maybe not to set their sights so high on the gifts that they're going to get, and to reduce some of the stress of the season. But how do you do all of that while you're trying to live the stress of the season? Well, my guest today is certainly a fan favorite here on Healthy Children, Dr. Corey Cross. She's a pediatrician and a spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Cross, I'd like to start with the stress part because that is such a huge part of the holidays. Some people take it in their stride, but some people really get all worked up, and then our kids see that we get like that. How do we deal with the stress of the season and help our children deal with the stress of the season?
You're absolutely right. As much as Christmas time is a time of joy and everybody's excited, it also comes with a lot of stress. And sometimes we think about it as the stress on the parents to get everything ready and all the cooking and the presents and everything and the decorating and the travel. But it's also on the children. So they're stressed about, you know, their own lives, but they're also stressed about schools coming to a close. A lot of times they have tests at the end of the semester. There's all sorts of stress that kids are bringing to the table as well, and we need to think about that. And then, of course, yes, they are very excited about what they're going to get, and we want to make sure that we temper that with what are realistic expectations, and also remembering that this is also the time where we can teach our children about generosity and thinking about what other people need and being thankful for what we have.
Well, so, okay, let's start with one of the things you just said about tampering their expectations a little bit. Not tampering, but, you know, just bringing them down just a little because they really do expect that every year is going to be better than the last and that everything is going to be the latest and the most updated. And while we don't want to say, you're not getting that this year, you know, or something like that, how do we bring down the level of what it is they're asking for?
So I think that, you know, when kids sit down to make a list, they kind of think the sky's the limit and they just have fun writing down absolutely everything. And so sometimes I think it's good as a parent to say, what would be your top item? What's the most important thing for you? Like, what is it that you really like? And then maybe talking about like, well, that might not be possible, you know, or that might not happen. You know, what else would make you happy? And I think sometimes talking about like, do you really need that? Is that something that, you know, you really, you know, expect? And that maybe those expectations aren't something that as a family we can or we want to need. It's not just that you can't necessarily afford it. It might not be within your family values if they want, you know, I don't know, some video game that you don't feel is appropriate for them. That's just not what they're going to get. Or for my maybe 8-year-old daughter wanting an iPhone, that's not going to happen. So, you know, it's letting them know, like, this isn't what we're talking about right now. Is there something, and you can redirect them, I think this would be a really great present to ask Santa for, or I think this would be a great thing for you, and I think you'd really enjoy it. Or sometimes you say something along these lines. Sometimes the gifts we don't expect are the ones that make us the happiest, so you might be surprised by what you get. So I sort of leave it as, these are suggestions for Santa or suggestions for gifts, but you'll be lucky with whatever you get.
Yeah, that's a really good way to do it and to make it so that they understand that, you know, without saying we can't really afford to do that, you know, but just kind of making it so that they do understand that their list is their wish list. And it doesn't mean that everything on that wish list is going to come to fruition. Now, one of the things that comes to mind when you speak about this is when they're making their lists and teaching them gratefulness and mindfulness and generosity and things like that while they're making their own. I mean, because let's face it, those kinds of lists are meant to be selfish in their nature. This is what I want, right? It's just, it's supposed to be about that. But while we're doing that, how do we teach them to be more mindful at this holiday of others who don't get to make a list or who don't have what they have?
I think that the way to do it is you let them have that moment where they're excited and they write everything down and you can look at their list. Maybe that's not the best time, depending on your child, to talk to them about what it is. You just put it aside But then what I like to do is we take a laundry basket and we go around the house and we collect things that we don't need anymore or that we haven't ever played with, you know, games or whatever that maybe aren't, you know, age appropriate that they got for a birthday present or whatever. And we put them in the laundry basket and then we find a place where we're going to donate, someplace that's collecting toys. And that act of like thinking about whether or not someone else could use this more than you often puts them in the right mindset without me having to say anything to then go back and say, now let's look at your list and think about, you know, where we're at. And they're already then thinking about giving to others. So you sort of do it without being all preachy because, you know, good kids, they find that within themselves while they're thinking about, wow, like I have 7 stuffed animals and maybe this kid doesn't have any. Yeah, I can part with a couple. And so I think that kids start to realize that. And it's better to show it than to say it anyway.
And that segues into grateful kids and teaching them to appreciate what they have without actually saying it. So we can walk around and we can say, let's pick out some of your toys to give to other kids. But how does that still make them feel lucky and grateful for what they have?
I think that kids, when particularly if you involve them in the act of the actual giving, I think that children, their eyes are opened because often they feel that everyone's environment is the same as theirs. But if you can actually find a place where you can bring the toys, where they can go and drop them off, even if they don't get to hand them out, where they can go and drop them off, maybe it's a Women and Children's Center or a shelter, Boys and Girls Club. There's some hospitals that collect toys. If you can find a place where you can go and actually physically make that donation and they can see, wow, there are kids here who are less fortunate than I am or who are in a situation that's less fortunate than mine. You know, I think that that just trickles into their consciousness that they say, wow, I could be that child. And even have that conversation in the car as you're driving over, aren't we lucky? And you know, we always have each other and we're very lucky to have what we have, and you know we're going to give to people who don't have as much. And I think that if you do this, not just at Christmas time, but throughout the year, you'll raise children who do feel compassionate and are realistic in what the world is like, and don't think that everyone has what they have, and everything is just like it is around them.
Well, and those are some good tips for raising generous children. It's important for us to do that. We need to teach them empathy, don't we, Dr. Cross? We need to. I mean, is that something that comes naturally, empathy, or do we kind of teach it to them by praising some of the deeds that they do, or if they give their little sister some of their dessert, or, you know, by setting our own examples? Is that something we have to teach?
I do think empathy is something we have to teach. I think that, you know, I think we're probably built to have a little bit of empathy, to have some altruism, but we're also built to survive, right? I mean, that's just nature. So if you want to have empathetic children, and not always be thinking about competing and being the best, but also what about the kid next to you and how are we going to make them feel good and all of that, then I think you do. You have to do exactly what you said. You have to praise them when you see the little behaviors. You have to talk about what it is, what your expectations are. You have to role model those things, and you have to do it consistently throughout the year, not just at Christmas. But I think at Christmas is always a great way to start. And I just think that if you talk about these things and you show how you're giving, then their Christmas list will come more into line with what you're hoping. And I think being honest with kids and saying, like, some of these things don't fit our values. My son, who's 6, he wants a BB gun. Told him that's never going to happen. He wants a gun that will shoot real bullets. I said, that's also not going to happen. Now I'm wondering why he wants so many guns. But, you know, I have to let him know. There are certain things that just, they're not going to happen. And it's just, that's what it is. And so I think sometimes as a parent, we do have to just put our foot down and say, nope, that doesn't fit with what we're doing in our house right now.
Well, and you're a pediatrician, too. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has come out.
And yet I have a child who wants so many guns.
Yeah, and AAP has all these policies about guns, and pediatricians are lobbying and doing all these things. So, yeah, these things happen with kids. They crop up. Now, you know, along those lines, though, do we? Okay, so if you're dealing with your child and saying that's not going to happen, do we show them other kids, like the kids on the border or kids from the fire or kids that, you know, migrant kids? Do we show them these things, Dr. Cross? Do we show them to show them pictures of these things, or do we not? And I'll just tell you, as a little Jewish girl, we had to learn about the Holocaust, and we had to read Diary of Anne Frank, and we had to see pictures of children, and it was devastating at the time, but you didn't really get it because the pictures looked old and they were in black and white. But the pictures that we might show our kids today might have more of an impact, but do we do that? Is it too traumatic?
I think that for young kids, it's definitely too traumatic. I think as children get older, you have to assess your child and what they're ready to deal with. But, you know, for the teenagers, yes, I think it's a conversation you can have. For even the middle schoolers, I think we have to be very careful when we show children pictures like that or when we discuss events, because we're coming at it from an adult brain and they don't have all of that background information. And so I really do think that it can be very traumatic. I think it would be better probably to go and work at a soup kitchen or work at a food bank to sort food and have that conversation. I mean, different people grow up in different situations. So my children, we live in Los Angeles. They see homeless people all the time. We went to San Francisco. Like they see that, they understand that. And yeah, it is very, very traumatic. You know, the fires were right near us, and unfortunately, two people they know lost their homes. So, you know, that was something that, and they're 6, 8, and 10, that they had to comprehend and deal with, and we talked through it. So I think that, you know, kids can handle some of this stuff, but it comes with a great responsibility on the parent side, if they are exposed to that, to work through it with them and to understand that, you know, you may think of it as a 10-minute conversation, but don't be surprised if it comes up later that night, the next day, they're dwelling on it, they come back, this person's homeless, could I ever be homeless? They start to stress about things. So they can have effects that you don't anticipate. So I would say just be very thoughtful as to how old your child is, what they can personally handle before you venture down that road. But there, you definitely have to let them know that the world is, you know, different, and that, you know, you don't want to build this utopian model in your child's head and then they're completely disillusioned. But at the same time, you have to sort of break into reality slowly. Sometimes books are the best way to do that. There's a lot of great books about kids who don't have enough food and why we have soup kitchens and, you know, all sorts of things about children. I'm trying to remember the name of them, was like where the kid gets a new pair of shoes and he's so excited, or other children picking on a kid who doesn't have the right shoes. So you can use books to sort of bridge that. And sometimes that's easier than showing them pictures from the news that are really made to sensationalize and really capture and have the most impact. Whereas a book, you might be able to work through it at a level that's more appropriate for them, you know, particularly if it's a child's book.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolite is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolite comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolite delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolite solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolite in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolite.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolite.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid.
Well, you and I could go on forever, but while we're trying to teach them to be gracious and have empathy and be mindful, mm-hmm. and yet also be generous and grateful for what they do have, I think that that all does tie together. So when anyone's listening to this and says, they just went completely off topic, no, we did not, because it sort of follows the line of thinking. And now making the holidays better for our kids, the happiest holidays that we can make. What can we do, you know, with making cookies and helping them get involved and all of that? What do you want us to know about, really, even if we're stressed, Dr. Cross, and even if we're feeling sad about things going on in the world, how do we buck up and put on a brave face and make this the best holiday for our kids?
Well, I think I love that you said mindful. I know that that's the new like catchword, but I also do think that it encompasses what you need to do as a parent, really all the time, but particularly around times of stress. And teaching our children how to do that and doing it ourselves is huge. So around Christmas time, you know, there's maybe a list of things that you want to do. You want to maybe build gingerbread houses or Christmas cookies, or you want to go Christmas caroling or whatever it is that embodies the season that you think would be a great experience with your kids. Maybe you just want to have like hot chocolate and family game night more often, or make a fire, whatever it is that you think would just be a great family time. And I would say write those things down, figure out when you're going to do them so that you don't feel stressed as to how you're going to fit them in. So it's this Friday night, you know, we're going to come home from work early and we're going to do that so that you don't have the stress of how you're going to make it work. Then when you're involved in that family activity that you're really looking forward to, stop and don't do anything else. We tend to multitask because we have so much to do. We're on our phones and this call's coming in and this email and we've got to deal with that. When you're spending that quality time with your kids, even if it's to take a walk outside just to look at the Christmas decorations and the holiday lights and whatever, and to feel the brisk air, put the phones down. No screens for you, no screens for them. I think that that brings you into the moment. And that's not exactly what they mean when they say mindful, but to me, that is being mindful. You're putting your stuff away and you're being present in that moment with your family, with your loved ones, to really appreciate the fact that you've just gone out and gotten everything to make your latkes or your cookies or whatever. And now you're going to enjoy doing it together, even if you have to put everything down and force yourself. And I think that that's important. And then I think that teaching our children mindfulness, which is really when you stop and you're just present in the moment where you take a deep breath, you listen to what's around you, and you just take a moment, teaching our children just to stop and just be for, even if it's just 2 minutes, they don't have that anymore. They run from one activity to the next, constantly doing their homework, usually doing more than one thing while they're doing their homework. And we don't have any time to just stop and breathe. And it's no wonder that everybody gets stressed and have so much anxiety. My middle daughter has taken up having a journal, and she really likes it. She writes down what she's thinking, but she also writes down her worries, and she puts those in there. And then she said she thinks that if she writes it down, then she doesn't need to worry about it as much anymore.
Wow.
And I think that that's her way of dealing with it. She thinks of it as saying a prayer. She writes it down and she figures now she can lay that to rest. And it really helps her. So I'm not sure everybody can do what she does, but you know, I think teaching kids just to even write in a journal can help them to alleviate some of what they're thinking and get in touch with what those feelings are.
I completely agree. And just my own little tip here is to try and laugh if you can. And sometimes in my family, we have, can you tell a joke, or what funny, something funny happened today, or what did you see that was funny? And in honor of Dr. Corey Cross, here's my kid joke. Why did the kid cross the playground to get to the other slide?
I don't know why.
To get to the other slide. Get it? Cross the
playground. Oh, to get to the other slide. That is very witty.
So see, these are the kind of things, and they can be stupid, but listeners, you know, coming up with jokes, having your kids, and as Dr. Cross said, you know, completely unplug. Family nights, making cookies, wrapping presents, doing soup kitchen stuff. These are all ways that you can really be with your kids and be in the moment with your kids, which is what is so important. So Dr. Cross, last thoughts about the holidays, teaching our kids generosity and empathy and mindfulness, and not to set their sights too high.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, as these holidays are right around the corner, you know, everybody's excited, but to make sure that you know, take that excitement and that you make sure that you spend some real quality time and you don't let it just be stressful and overwhelming. And remember that your stress can rub off on your children. So try to make sure that you take a minute to check in with them, see how they're doing, and teaching them ways to calm down and to relax and to really enjoy it and to have realistic expectations. And I think the more time that you spend with your kids unplugged and enjoying them, you'll be rewarded with what you get back, because I think that kids really do, for the most part, still enjoy spending time with their parents and their families. And, you know, that quality time that we give them around the holidays, it comes back to you later. So it's definitely worth the effort.
Agree wholeheartedly. And it is a way to keep connected with your kids, which is really what it's all about at the holidays and all year round. Thank you, Dr. Cross, for coming on with us today. It's always so
wonderful to have you on because you're so passionate and loving, and it comes through with everything that you say about children. I imagine you are an amazing pediatrician. So thank you so much. You're listening to Healthy Children, and our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD, and you can hear these shows on RadioMD.com, TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. They are just all over the place, but we want you to listen at RadioMD.com. Share it with your friends because it's a great show to have your friends listen to for the holidays so that they can help and work with their kids on all of these things we've discussed today. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.